The topic of tonight's lecture is, what is real knowledge? So I would like to suggest, first of all, that the title itself, there's something a little wrong with the title. That knowledge, if it's real, it's knowledge, and if it's not real, it's not knowledge. So to say what is real knowledge, it's that the word real is unnecessary, but it's also necessary. It's just like we say, what is a real guru? If he's not a real guru, then he's not a guru. A guru must be a real guru, otherwise he's bogus and he's not a guru. But we require to say what is a real guru because there are so many bogus people posing as gurus. Therefore, we say what is a real guru because there are so many people who we think are gurus, but they're not gurus. But that term is a sadguru. If he's not sad, then he's not guru. So same thing, if it's not real knowledge, then it's ignorance. It's either knowledge or it's not knowledge. And if it's not actual knowledge, then it's not knowledge. But we say what is real knowledge? What do we mean by that question? Well, there are so many kinds of knowledge. There must be so many educational institutions in Bangalore. There's at least one university. Yeah? How many universities in Bangalore?
Bangalore University.
Which one?
Visveshwara Technical University.
That's named after Visveshwara Tirtha Maharaj. It's a new one, is it?
No.
Another Visveshwara. Okay. So we have a technical university.
And also there are certain autonomous institutions, like Indian Institute of Science.
Indian Institute of Management. Then we have the Purna Pragya Vidya Pitam, which is a completely different. That's
education trust.
No, that's Madhva Sampradaya. They're teaching Vedas and Nyai Sudha. No, that's for the Madhva Sampradaya. That's at the edge of the city. What else? You have any fashion institutes here?
Then you must be having
teaching of dance, Bharatanatyam, dance and Carnatic music.
Ravindra,
that's named after Ravindranath Tagore, is it? And do you have dance institutes where they teach modern dance also, how to do cinema, filmy dance? You have that also. What else? Someone's teaching, what's that paper art, origami?
Yeah.
Someone's teaching that, someone somewhere maybe is teaching that.
Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan,
what are they teaching?
Yeah. Oh. They basically teach about Indian culture and heritage.
Yeah, well, Bharatiya Vidya, yeah. So, what specifically?
It's actually their office is in Bombay.
Yeah, I know. It's right there in Chowpatty.
Yeah.
Branches in Delhi.
Okay. Then they must be having also for Islam.
Madrasas.
They must
madrasas.
Be having so many madrasas. Every mahalla.
They are going to set up Islamic
every
university here.
They had,
it was in times of India.
All right, they already have one in Alipur. The Alipur. Aligarh Muslim University. Then Jains, they're strong in Karnataka. They must be having some Jain Institute of Knowledge also.
Yeah, Jain Institute of Knowledge. But they're not teaching Jainism.
They're not teaching Jainism. The real thing that Jains learn is how to make lots of money.
Jain Institute of Management.
So anyway, there are so many, and then some ladies must be teaching, they're teaching like flower arrangement and this and that. And then they have gyms, they teach you how to, and karate, there must be someone teaching karate, jiu-jitsu, swimming, tabla playing, someone must be teaching.
Cricket,
they have cricket coaching here. Cricket coaching, how to throw a ball at you really, at someone really fast, and then they also teach when someone's throwing the ball at you how to hit it and run like hell. He's from Bangalore, Kumble. So anyway, the point I'm making, and apart from that, of course, there's regular schools, colleges, and then there's kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, and there's pre-pre-kindergarten. Someone's waiting to catch them as they fall out of the womb and stick them in a school. So there's in Indian culture, especially, learning has always been very much respected, probably more than in other cultures throughout the world. There's a lot of emphasis on learning. Is he or she? She is going to pre-kindergarten yet? She's crying when she heard about all those education she has to go through. So, a lot of emphasis on learning. Why should we learn? Why learn? You can just get your food somehow or other, isn't it? Why do you have to learn? You can get what you need. What do you need in life? Roti, kapra, makan. These are the standard things. So you can get that just by, you can sweep the roads. You don't have to learn much to do that. Then why learn? Why should we learn? But why? Why? What for? Why are you learning? Why should we learn?
That's a very good question, but people learn.
What's the answer? You have some answer.
Have the rational in our approach.
Have the rational approach. But roti kapra makan, you get jaise taise by sweeping the street.
Sophisticated roti kapra makan.
Sophisticated? Okay. So you can have a more sophisticated life. So you're saying that learning is just like you're saying, so you can have a higher, more income. Learning is for earning money. That's generally the idea, isn't it, in modern life? You should earn to get, just like I was saying in Vishakhapatnam, in the school I was asking, why do you want to go to America? And one boy stood up and said, because you earn in dollars there, and there's $1 is 45 rupees, and you earn there in dollars what you earn here in rupees. So it's generally considered that learning is meant for earning.
Yes.
Although some things you learn not for earning, just like jiu-jitsu, you learn that so you can prevent the thief from earning his living from you. You got that?
Huh? If
you want to get married, they'll say, what is your educational qualification? How many times have you heard that in your life? What is your educational qualification? So we're learning so that, as we were driving in, just as we were driving from the station, I saw a photo of, a big billboard advertising the school, and it showed a little toddler with his backpack, which means the school books on his back, and a long road ahead. So they're advertising for their school. The road to success begins here. So the idea is that by education we can earn more money and be a success. We can improve ourselves. Isn't that the idea? Self-improvement. Jiu-jitsu, it's also not just for self-defense but also for being healthy. And even these people learn, they learn martial arts, and it also helps you mentally to be a more mentally balanced person. One old friend of mine, a devotee, was telling me he started to learn this What's that Chinese art? You move very slowly.
Kung Fu.
No, Tai Chi. Yeah. So he was saying his teacher told him he had lots of chi, which means in Indian language as prana. But he said your footwork stinks. You're very imbalanced. So he's saying that even mentally he has a lot of energy, but he's imbalanced. Suhotras. So it's like helping him to become more balanced as a person, because his energy is all over the place. So that can help you to become more stable. Yoga also, that also helps you to relax and become more stable mentally doing pranayama. So in various ways, knowledge helps us to become a better person. It's not mostly the emphasis on the modern age is how to earn money and how to live in this world. It's not only earning money for roti, kapra, makan, but it's also, there's a sense of self-worth, that if you're a success, then you feel you're respected by others. And if you don't have your educational qualification, then people, they tend to look down on you. So there's also a sense of being respected and accepted in society. These are all different reasons. And just like learning this origami, this how to make different shapes with paper. What's that for? What do you get out of that? Recreation, and also some sense of, you know, you're doing something. That's it. Chess, people play. Engaging the mind. It's a mental battle of wits, like this. Cricket, you can earn money, but it's not just physical, but it's also a competition. How you can, there's teamwork, and then how you can learn to defeat other battling. It's your abilities against others.
Can I put this up? Because
yeah. That comes up and then the sound goes. Oh, I see. That's how you're supposed to wear it. I see. All right. I just learned something. My knowledge is increased. I learned something from my disciple. So knowledge is acquired for self-improvement. We may even learn something, how we can, even for serving others, if we have the motive to serve others, we might learn something so that we can serve others better. It's for self. Ultimately, knowledge, then, we can say, is for self-improvement of, in various ways, by earning more money, by being respected, by even in competition to fulfill our desire to compete with others, for recreation, for physical health, just so you learn how to swim, for communication with others. You might learn a language. Someone who comes to Bangalore from Andhra Pradesh, they might want to learn Kannada, for instance, so they can communicate with the local people. So knowledge is for self-improvement. Then what is real knowledge? These are all facets of knowledge, and we can't say it's not real. All these facets of knowledge, if the knowledge means it's to be applied, and that we see that it's real in that it's applied. Just like if you learn Hindi or some language, then you. It works if you can communicate with others in that language. So it's real. We can't. This is actual Hindi. If you speak a few words of Hindi, aap kaise ho, kaha se aa raha ho, something like that. And the people reply to you, abhi Salem se. You came from Salem this morning. So we can say it's real in as much as it has some practical application and it works. So it's real. But then real in the really fullest sense of the term, if we're saying that knowledge is something for self-improvement, then the question comes, what is the self? And what is actually beneficial for the self? Then we can find out what is real knowledge, what is actually beneficial for us. We have to consider, is it actually beneficial for us to work, to study very hard for many years, to get sophisticated roti kapra makan, when without so much trouble, without so much headache and anxiety, you can sweep the street? You don't need any education. Of course, a little bit of education, yeah. There's also a little expertise in how to sweep the street. Not much, but something. So it could be postulated that instead of spending so many years and having so much anxiety and business, you know, this, what's this, office politics and all this, you just sweep the street. Why bother studying? And you won't get such sophisticated roti kapra makan, but then you don't have all this sophisticated office politics and anxiety and paying the bills and having mortgages, you have to pay off your house loan over so many years. You could just sweep the street. Hey, that's a great idea, isn't it? You could save your kid. Oh, already left. So much anxiety. Why put them through? The path to success begins here at the age of 2, going to school with a big sack of books. Is it a good idea? You can make your kid into a street sweeper. Will anyone agree? The street sweepers themselves, they're sending their kids to school, and they're getting free meals so they can study better. And then what will happen is they'll become more technologically efficient, and they'll drive a truck with special. In the West, they don't have street sweepers. They have trucks which come around, and they squirt water, and they do it all technologically with a big brush. And you can get a diploma at the college how to sweep the street with a truck. So they can become more sophisticated street sweepers. Someone's got to do it. And they'll get their roti kapra makan in a more sophisticated way. Actually, it doesn't sweep the streets as well as a human being. The machine, it always misses so many things. So you don't feel satisfied to that, my child should be a street sweeper. No, the street sweeper wants to make his child a doctor or a business executive. The idea, we should do better. But we should understand that ultimately what is the best thing, who are we, and what is best for us. Then we can understand what is actual knowledge. So what is best for us? To have sophisticated roti kapra makan and then die, or less sophisticated roti kapra makan and then die? You can, you never know, in your next life you might be born in a huge, beautiful building with all marble floors, and all the people there are very rich, and you can be born in a home like that as a mouse and get caught in a trap. You may have a strong desire to be born in a big palatial house, and that desire may be fulfilled, but because you don't have the punya to be a human being in that house, you're going to be born as a mouse in that house. That's how karma is very complex. It works like that. You have a strong desire to be in a rich home, so it's fulfilled, but you don't have the punya to fulfill it, so you get born as a mouse in that house. Once Srila Prabhupada, they brought him, the devotees had just rented for the first time a building in Stockholm, which they were going to use as a temple. They just rented the building, and Prabhupada came there, and they showed him the building. They hadn't painted it or decorated it. They opened the door, and a rat ran through. And Prabhupada said, that was the house owner in his previous life.
because he was so much attached to this building, he came back in this building. His desire was fulfilled. He was attached. So he came back as a rat in the same building. Prabhupada also said that he was commenting that people in India, they often, when their father dies, they keep the photograph and they put a little kumkum each day and they offer some flowers and this and that. Prabhupada said that they're offering, they don't know that their father is the cockroach in the commode in the same house. But he's come back to the same house due to that attachment. So, one may be very knowledgeable and build a big house and live very luxuriously and come back as a rat or a cockroach. So,
And get killed,
yeah. Someone, your son will come with a shoe and kill the cockroach. This is karma chakra. So, real knowledge should be to analyze. If we say that knowledge is for our self-improvement, then real knowledge or the best knowledge is that knowledge by which we improve our situation to the highest degree, isn't it? That's why people want their children to be doctors, because they think when you become a doctor, then you can go to America and you can earn a lakh of dollars a month. So that's, and it's a highly respected situation. So people are thinking, what's the best thing? What's the best way to improve? They think, I'll have my child. I couldn't become a doctor. I'll have my child become a doctor. And then he can earn lots of money, and then I'll live very nicely too. But what happens is the children go off to America and forget all about their parents. That's what's going on. So, but that idea is there, that we should improve ourselves, improve others, improve our own children. They're not so much concerned about others. Improve the nation. This idea is very prominent now. We all have to work together to make India a great nation. And they're lauding ISKCON for giving free meals to the poor children so they can study, and in this way we'll build up the nation. ISKCON is contributing to the development of the nation by giving free meals to the poor children so that they can also get ahead and have sophisticated roti kapra makan, and we'll develop the nation. Of course, you never know, in the midst of all this development, Pakistan might just drop a few of their prizes on us, and then all the development will be finished in a few seconds. But anyway, we're developing the nation, and we're developing. In Bangalore, HAL is developing, I suppose, missiles to stop the Pakistani gifts to India when they come flying over. So this is all part of the national development. That eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We shall develop some rockets so that when Pakistan sends their rockets, or China, they send theirs, then we'll, you never know, America, you never know what's going to happen. So we'll send some other rockets back, and that will smash them. So this was going on between America and the USSR. They had intercontinental ballistic missiles. When I first went to Russia, I met one of the devotees, and he was at university. What are you studying? Electronic systems for intercontinental missiles. That was his subject at university. So, also, I was just going on the train from somewhere in Andhra Pradesh, from Vizayanagaram to Hyderabad, and there were a group of students who were at the something national, the in national defense something or other, and they were all studying the similar things, missiles and this and that. So we're thinking we shall learn to improve the condition of the country. We shall build up the country, make it very strong. But this also, the same thing, what's the value? That all your improvement can be finished, one big gift from, is he still in there, Musharraf? They didn't, bump him off yet? Huh? He's still there, Mushri, he's still up there. Oh, well, anyway. So, any time it can all be finished. Or we may, just like you'll find so many statues of national heroes. You have any statues in Bangalore of great heroes? That's a common thing in the Western world. They have in Calcutta the statue of Sir Ashutosh Mukherjee. You know who he is? He was famous. Not now. Now they don't. I don't even know what he's famous for, but he's famous for something. Otherwise they wouldn't have made a statue. Huh? Maybe, I don't.
In Calcutta there was Lenin statue.
Lenin statue in Calcutta. In Karamsad, in Gujarat, they had the statue of, who knows, Vallabhbhai Patel, who was the Iron Man. He was born there. So they had these statues. So the people, their statues are there, and the pigeons are coming and passing stool on them. But what is the value for Vallabhbhai Patel that his statue is there? How does it help him? There's a bronze image of it. But where is he? There are so many Gandhi statues in Delhi. There's next to the Lok Sabha, there's Gandhi statue. But where is Gandhi? Where is he gone? The statue is there, and people may, they come every year and they offer some garlands and they say, they praise Mahatma Gandhi, although they don't follow anything he said. But what is the value? You can have your statue built, or we can make India a great nation, but we have to go on. We'll think we'll make India a great nation and we'll make it better than Pakistan. The next life you might be born in Pakistan, thinking we have to build up Pakistan and make it better than India. That's how it works. At Kargil, so many soldiers were killed. And just as the bullet hits them, they're thinking, I hate Pakistan. That means they get born in the next life in Pakistan, because whatever you think of at the time of death, that's how you get born. So this whole karma chakra, kala chakra, we're thinking we shall, it's the whole maya, we're thinking we shall improve ourselves, we shall improve our family, we shall improve our nation, that it's all simply punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. You say, sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down. You become Indra, and then in the next life, then gradually you become Indra Goop, which means a little germ. There's one kind of germ called Indra Goop. So what is the improvement? You may think, I will make my son a doctor in America. Much higher position than that is Indra in Swargaloka. But even Indra, he has to come down. Taitam bhukva swagalokam visharam kshine punye martyalokam vishanti evam trai dharma anuprapana gata gatam kama karma labhante. By performing sacrifices, by performing yajna, you can have self-improvement up to the level of becoming in, up to going to the swagaloka and enjoying material happiness far greater than anything we can imagine on this planet. But you have to come down again. So there's no actual self-improvement on the material platform, because on the material platform we mistake what the self is. We're thinking the body is the self, or even if we think in future I will go to the heavenly planets, we're identifying ourselves as enjoyers of this material world, but there's no enjoyment. So all this knowledge that we're developing, how to do jujitsu, learn French, become a doctor, all this knowledge is all based on ignorance. It's based on the ignorance of thinking that we can be happy in this material world, we can be happy separate from Krishna. So all that, whatever goes on in the name of knowledge in this material world, it's all not, it's knowledge in one sense, but it's knowledge built on the platform of ignorance. It's sophisticated ignorance. We can say like that. We can get our sophisticated roti, kapra, makan, but on the basis of developing sophisticated knowledge systems, all based on ignorance, all based on ignorance of what is our actual position, who we actually are. knowledge is developed for self-improvement, but if we don't know what the self is and how the self situation can be improved, then whatever knowledge we get, it's all not only improving our situation, but it makes our actual situation worse. Because if we think we're improving our situation, but we're not improving our situation, that's an illusion. An illusion means it's not knowledge, it's the opposite of knowledge. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who himself was very learned, even in the material sense, he said, Jara vidya jato maya bhaibhav tomar bhajane baddha anitya shangshare moha janamya anitya shangshare jivke kare gadha. So he said that, praying to Krishna, he said that this knowledge of the material world is simply a display of maya, illusion. It's not knowledge. Maya means that which is not. So it appears to be knowledge, but it's not actual knowledge. It's knowledge of that which is not real in the real sense of the term. Everything here is temporary. The idea, I shall become a doctor. I shall help others by being a doctor. But we don't know who we are or who others are. We cannot actually help them. And everything is temporary. Will-o'-the-wisp. Finished very quickly. So what's the point? You're sentenced to be, tomorrow you shall be shot. And stay in this cell overnight. Okay, well in the meantime I'm going to learn how to decorate it very nicely. And I'm going to phone up and find out what's the best place to put the bed in the terms of Vastu. And let's learn about Vastu because I'm going to be here one night and have a really good night while I'm here. And it will all be Vastu, completely perfect according to Vastu. And we'll decorate it very nicely so that when I wake up in the morning it'll look wonderful and then they'll take me out and they'll shoot me. So what's the point? What's the point of making a wonderful arrangement if you're going to get shot the next morning? I'll learn how to cook some special preparation so I can cook it tonight and I can enjoy it very nicely. But it won't even come out the other side. It won't be time because you're going to be shot before it's even digested. So what's the point? But then that's our situation. You're not going to get shot tomorrow morning. Maybe. Probably not, but you never know. But we have to die, so what's the point of making arrangements for living nicely in this material world when we can't even stay in any situation where we'll get a nice house, nice car, all these things, but then you can't stay. So that's not the goal of life. That's not actual self-improvement. There's plenty of space. You can please come inside. Give a path so you can come inside. Please come right in. Ladies are sitting over here. So this is, it's just a display of maya, that thinking that we can improve ourselves in this material situation, or that it's in our self-interest to make the material situation better. What's better? Well, what is the meaning of a better situation if you're living as a big rich doctor in this life and then you become a worm in stool in the next? What is the improvement? First of all, before you study anything, you should ascertain what is the benefit in doing so. They have in this India today in different, what are the top 10 colleges in India, and they assess. Because people think about it very carefully, though. Where should I go? Which college? What would be the benefit of going there? But the first question they should ask is that what is the actual meaning? First of all, we should ascertain what are we doing and where are we going? So people think that, yeah, I think I should get into management, or I should get into commerce, or I should get into engineering, or I should get into medicine. But you should see that whether it's commerce or management or whatever it is, it all ends up with a little note in the Deccan Herald, regret to inform so-and-so passed away. It all ends up like that. And then your picture on the wall, and you're a cockroach in the commode. You, the great self-improved person. So it all ends up like that. So, where's the self-improvement? It's all over very quickly. You spend so much time, pre-kindergarten through to PhD, so much time studying and then working, when you can't work anymore, when you're worn out like an old ox, they retire, then they say, now you can retire, now you can live peacefully. Now we can no longer squeeze anything more out of you, you can retire and we'll give you a pension. So, what is this? What is this improvement? First we should ascertain, before we're going to study or take knowledge, we should first of all ascertain what is the goal. Start with the goal in mind. Famous words of Stephen Covey. Start with the goal in mind. What is your aim in life? You want to be a doctor, all right, but then they die. What happens after that? Don't know. That means ignorance. You want to be an engineer, then okay, you be an engineer, then you die. What happens after that? Don't know. And they'll say, there's nothing. But they don't know that there's nothing. They say, after death, there's nothing. Do you know? No. They say, no one can know. If they don't know, it doesn't mean no one can know. Why should we think that after... They want that there'll be nothing because they don't want to think about the consequences of if there is something. Because people are interested in how we can get our sophisticated roti kapramakan blind. So this is maya. To think, to simply absorb ourselves in getting more and more material knowledge and thinking that this is self-improvement. And this is an obstacle to our actual self-interest. To identify our actual interest as being material improvement is an obstacle to our self-interest if we understand that the real self is not the body. It doesn't. When the body dies, the self does not die. Now, presumably most of you, or all of you, being mostly Hindus except, presuming you're all Hindus here, probably you are, mostly Hindus accept that the soul continues to exist after the demise of the body. Everyone accepts. They don't think about it too much, but they accept. They have some idea like that. It's part of Hindu faith. Just like in Islam, it's part of the faith that you don't get reborn. It's part of their faith. They don't think about it too much, why it should be like that, but because they're born in a Muslim family, they strongly believe, they think it's a sacrilege to think that the soul again enters into a body. So in Hinduism, it's accepted on faith. People don't think about it very seriously, but you think, yeah, okay, there's life after death. And often they doubt it and they ask, what is the scientific proof? But more or less people have some idea that there is life after death. So if we think about it, then our whole life should be based on this point. Because if we consider that we have life after life after life, then why should we take this, trying to improve our situation here in this few years, 50 years, we may live 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. Hardly, most people don't live more than 80 years. Then it's all over, and it's not very long. It's finished very soon, isn't it? What do you think? You're older than me. I'm feeling that almost 50 years went in this body. Where did it go? It's come. It won't come back. Ayushakshana ekopi nalabhya swarna koti bi. Bring millions of gold coins. You can't buy back 1 second of time. It's gone. And actually 49 years passed in this body. I don't expect to have another 49 years in this body. It's gone and it's going away at every second. So why should we put so much importance on this life when we have so many lives? And if we consider that we're born and we struggle and we die again and again and again and again, then real knowledge should be the thing. How can we get out of this? Especially when, if as Hindus we have some, at least some kind of faith that there is beyond parastasmatu bhava nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana, that beyond this life of repeated birth and death, beyond this material world which is created again and destroyed again and again, there is the eternal situation which is satyam, which that's actually real. Satyam, jnanam, this real knowledge. Anantam, unlimited. Brahma, that is the spiritual situation. So why should we not aspire for that? But this idea, I have to improve myself, I have to get ahead, I have to get sophisticated, roti kapramakam. Coming into Bangalore, we see so many pigeonholes are being constructed. The apartments, they're probably like start at 30, 40 lakhs, pigeonholes. This apartment, as Prabhupada used to call pigeonhole, because have you seen that they make the pigeons, they put a row, like a big box, and they have one hole for each pigeon. So it's like that. Some these modern buildings, they're like a big box, and you have a little pigeonhole you can fly into. So people are putting, their whole energy is on this, but if there is a situation which is satyam, shivam, sundaram, then why not aspire for that? Because these pigeonholes, they're not satyam, shivam or sundaram. So why not aspire for that which is better? But we're so locked in to self-improvement by knowledge of this material world. So tomara bhajane baddha, moha janamiya, this jaya vidya, this materialistic knowledge, it simply gives rise to more and more illusion. And in this anitya samsara, in this temporary situation in this material world, it makes the jiva, who is supposed to be fully blissful, jivke kare gadha, makes him into a big ass. This is all. You see someone with so many letters after that name, that means it's just like the ass is carrying huge weights. So they're carrying big burden of knowledge. They've studied so hard to get all this knowledge, which is simply like a big weight pushing them down. They think, I'm going up in the world. Now I... MSc, PhD, MBBS, I'm going up in the world, but actually that knowledge is increasing their illusion and pushing them down. In spiritual terms, they become less able to understand what is actual knowledge, which is spiritual reality. So sometimes it's said that that simplicity, that is a great quality, because then we can accept. The simplicity means we can easily accept what is the actual fact. Where someone who's very proud, generally someone who's got knowledge, they become, oh, I know so much, I'm successful. And people, they cannot accept Krishna consciousness because they think, well, I'm so big, I'm the highest in human society. I'm better than all the people around me. I have a better house, I have a better apartment, I'm more prestigious, I'm higher than others. So what do I have to hear from others? We find we go preaching in the medical colleges, but the medical students, they won't hear from anyone unless they're a doctor or another medical student, because they think that anyone who's not a doctor or at least a medical student, they're like inferior to us. So foolish, because they have some knowledge of some aspect of this material world, and they think, oh, we're superior to all of this. This is a manifestation of their foolishness. Because they know something. To get into medical college, you have to be good at studies, or otherwise a Christian or a Muslim or a Dalit. That's another way you can get into medical college. You don't know anything, but you're a Muslim or a Christian or a Dalit. But generally, medical college means you have to have an ability to study and retain knowledge significantly more than the average person. Otherwise, you can't make it in medical college. So they become proud. Oh, I'm in medical college. I'm better than others. But even if you study, then how much can you know? You know, but then you get your MBBS, and then you can become a specialist, and then a super specialist, and then even then you don't know. I some time ago I had a kidney stone. Anyone ever had a kidney stone? Hurts like hell, doesn't it? It's really painful. So I went to a super specialist. That means he's been through pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, school, plus two, medical college, specialist, and then super specialist. And he super specializes in urinary tract infections and stones and all this kind of thing. I asked him, how are stones formed? He said, don't know. How long does it take for stones to form? Don't know. He's a super specialist. You think they know that. It's they don't know. He said, we don't know. So they're so proud that the thing they're supposed to be a super specialist in, they don't know. So much they know. But even the basic things, they don't know. Or you can be a super specialist in urinary tract infections. There must be some fancy Latin name for that. Say, urologist, I don't know what it is. But then they may not know. There may be another doctor in the clinic next door, and he's in another field, and they don't know anything about it. It's just like something completely different. So how much can you know about anything anyway? But they can become so proud. Oh, we know so much about this. We know so much. But what is the purpose of life? That they can say, oh, I'm a big doctor, so what do I need to know that? You become a sadhu because you're a failure in this material world. Isn't it they say like that? You're a failure. They don't want their children to become sadhus because that's a sign that they're a failure. They couldn't make it in the material world. Well, hey, yeah, I want to give you a little knowledge now. You can become self-improved by the knowledge that everyone in this material world is a failure. Everyone. Their Lord, someone. This Prangi, what's his name? Aziz? Azim Prangi. He's a great success, isn't it? Well, he started off, he built up his business from nothing, isn't it? And he became one of the richest people, not only in India, but in the world. And his products are he's also a failure. Because he doesn't know the purpose of life. He's put his energy into something which is ultimately of no benefit to him or anyone else. You know, how can you say that? He's helping to develop India, and India's prestige is increased by him having projects in different countries in the world as well. Parabhavastavad abodajata yavanna jigyasita atmatattvam. Parabhava means defeat. Everything is a failure as long as we do not inquire into atmatattva. What is the nature of the self? It comes to the same thing. There's no self-improvement unless we understand what the self is. Otherwise, it's bodily improvement, national improvement, imaginary improvement, mental improvement, social improvement, but it's all useless because it simply means that as a result of it, we end up as a cockroach in the commode and get smashed by the shoes of our ex-loving son. And then again, get born somewhere else to struggle again in material life and never satisfied. So what's the improvement? If there's no satisfaction in the sophisticated roti kapra makan, What happened? She gave me a good line there. I'm repeating this like a mantra. Sophisticated roti kapra makan. If there's no improvement, if there's no satisfaction, then what is the use? It's all defeat. It's all self-defeating. So just in the beginning, we should understand what is that knowledge by which we can be improved in the actual way. This is real knowledge. This is the subject. What is real knowledge? What is that knowledge by which we can achieve ultimate improvement? The highest, what would you say would be the highest improvement? Well, we should, first thing is we should not die. We should live happily forever. We should not have to struggle. We should have loving relationships with others. And also sophisticated roti kapra makan. That also. But that roti kapra makan means that that should also be eternal. So real, if we could just imagine what is the best situation imaginable, that we should live forever and be fully happy in all respects. And there should be nothing bad around us. Everything good, everything nice. But people will say, oh, that's not possible. That's not realistic. Why not? There's a saying, if you can dream of it, you can do it. That's one of the modern management ideas, self-improvement. If you can dream of it, you can do it. That was this Napoleon Hill wrote a book, How to Become a Millionaire or something like this. Think Rich and Grow Big, something like that. Isn't it? Think Big, Grow Rich. What was the name of the book? They still read that. They have more sophisticated books nowadays. So his whole thesis is that you should, if you want to be, think how much money you want to have, $1 million, $1 billion, and write it down on a piece of paper and say in how many years you want to have that money. You want to have $1 million, within 10 years you want to have $1 million. So you should look at that every day and say out loud that by this date I want to have $1 million, and constantly meditate on it and base your whole life around it. And it will be revealed to you by some magic, this is what he says, it will be revealed to you and it will happen if you just fully give your whole life to that. You always meditate 24 hours a day. Dream and you can do it. This is his idea. So if you can dream of a situation where there's no death, there's eternal life, fully happy, no hassles, no pollution, no office politics, no grey hairs, no constipation, no indigestion, no struggle, just full bliss and happiness, then should we not be able to attain to it? The Vedas, Veda means knowledge, they tell us of that place, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, that there is that situation and it can be attained. By taking the knowledge of the Vedas, we can attain to the situation where there is actual truth, where the knowledge actually benefits us, where we can live eternally, happily in all respects. And if you want to attain that situation, you have to think about it all the time. You have to think how to attain it. You have to fully dedicate yourself to it, and you can attain it. And that we see that saintly persons, advanced spiritualists, they are themselves evidence that there is another kind of existence, there is another kind of knowledge beyond that of struggling for happiness in this material world. Someone who can be fully satisfied with nothing material and be far more happy than someone who has got everything material, that such a person, a single person who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he can be happy just sitting under a tree chanting Hare Krishna. And the person who is aiming for material success, they will never be happy, even if they have a big house and a big car and all these things. They'll never be satisfied because they're barking up the wrong tree. An English saying. You know that saying? Barking up the wrong tree. A dog is chasing a cat, and a cat goes among the trees and runs up a tree. The dog comes running and barks at the bottom of the tree at the cat, but the cat's on another tree. So he's barking up the wrong tree. We're searching in the... We're trying so hard to be happy, that we're trying and we're putting so much effort, but all in the wrong place. It's all misdirected. Therefore, parādhavasthāvad abodhajāta. It's all endeavors in ignorance. What we call knowledge, it's all endeavors in ignorance. So just this knowledge of who we are, what we actually have to do, how we have to endeavor, so that our endeavors, they improve us, they give us self-improvement in the actual sense of the term, that is real knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Actually, it's very simple. You don't have to spend 10 years going for college, school, college, and then specialist, super specialist. I can tell you what is real knowledge in a few sentences. We are not this body. It's temporary. This body will die, but we shall continue to exist as Atma never dies. Avinashi tu tadviti yena sarvamidam tata. That which gives consciousness to the whole body is indestructible. This body must die, but the soul is indestructible. And the soul is by nature satyadananda, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So we all have our eternal relationship with the Supreme Soul, who is Krishna. And not knowing that, we are suffering birth after birth, sometimes as a doctor, sometimes as a sweeper in the street, sometimes with ordinary roti kapramakan, and sometimes with sophisticated roti kapramakan. Sometimes as a cockroach, sometimes as a mouse, and sometimes as an Indra. But our real situation is in the spiritual world with Krishna. And we can go there by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's it. That's real knowledge. What is real knowledge? That's it. But God, people will bring so many objections because their head is full of stool in the name of modern education, of stinking, horrible, nasty, contaminating. What is stool? Why do you say stool? Because stool it's unwholesome, it's disgusting, it stinks, there's nothing good about it. It's tyajya, you should give it up. That is stool. So this education which teaches us that get ahead and don't think about who we are Atma. You can sometimes go to the temple, no harm. It makes you a good citizen. You can be a little bit moral if you go to the temple. Pray to God, no harm. That's their atheistic religion. They go and pray to the gods. So this is all against the self-interest of the jiva. Therefore, it's not actual knowledge. Because knowledge means self-improvement. That which is for our self-improvement. But it's not for our actual self-improvement. It's for the misconception of the self. It's for improving the misconception. I mean, for developing the misconception. What we call self-improvement in the material sense is to develop the misconception. That means to increase the ignorance. So it's not actually knowledge at all. Therefore we say what is real knowledge there cannot be anything but real knowledge. If it's unreal, it's not knowledge. If it's false, then it's not knowledge. Therefore, we say that all is knowledge of the material world. It's not actual knowledge. It's that which is, it works against our own actual self-interest. So real knowledge simply means to understand, I am eternal, I am part and parcel of Krishna, I meant to serve Him, so I should serve Him. And then learn how. Having learned that, we should learn how to serve Him. And then you go to Krishna. But we're stuck in this miserable material world. You don't have to be, but we're here. So, for living in this world, we have to do something. Vedic knowledge also gives knowledge of how to live in this world, not as a computer engineer, or more simple life, traditional life. But that knowledge is given not to make us stay in this world, but just how we can live here. That's all. So in the Vedic culture, it's not that everyone... Actually in Satya Yoga, everyone was a transcendentalist. But then later, as the quality of realization came down, so then Varnashram was introduced. So yes, different occupations for different people. But the real purpose of all duties, Atapumbya Dujasreshta, Varnashrama Vibhagashaha, Swanushtitasya Dharmasya, Sangsidhya Hari Toshana. Whatever work we do, whatever duties we may perform in this world, that will be tested by our activities we can satisfy Bhagavan Hari. So yes, we're in this world, so yeah, you do something. You can. We're not saying close all the schools, not immediately anyway. That's not practical. So yeah, there's studies, this you do. Alright, you do. But understand that everything we do must be focused on satisfying Vishnu. Otherwise, it's a big pile of zeros or a big pile of dung. Of course, you can also take dung and put it in the gobar gas plant and make some gas and cook chapatis and offer it to Krishna. So in that way, this materialistic knowledge, it can also be used in Krishna's service. But the point that Krishna's service, that is the ultimate goal, that has to be understood. Otherwise, you just have a big pile of stool in the name of education, national improvement. But take that, and use it in the service of Krishna. Then there's something valuable. Otherwise, big pile of zeros which turns into a big minus. Material life means you're trying to go up but we go down. Or you may go up like a rocket goes up and then just comes down again. Material life means sometimes we're in heaven, sometimes we're in hell, sometimes we're a big king and sometimes we're a big rat. This is material life. So real knowledge means that knowledge by which we understand who we are and how we can really improve our situation by coming out of this material situation where there's actually no improvement and come to our original spiritual situation in the service of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is real knowledge. That is described in the Vedic literature, of which the essence is Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Do you all have Bhagavad Gita as it is? We have. Where's the book, Bhagavad Gita as it is? There's some copies here. Etad jnanam iti proktam. This is knowledge. Yeah, so this is... Oh, they come in packs of two. So this is Bhagavad Gita as it is. What's it called in Kannada? What's it? Yatharupa. Bhagavad Gita Yatharupa in Kannada. And we have in other languages also? Telugu. Bhagavad Gita Yatharupam in Telugu. So we have in various... Who has this book in their home? Who doesn't have? Anyone doesn't have? Oh, I couldn't distribute any today. Well, you can do. Who wants? Huh? Other books? Fill up your home with these books. Who's read Bhagavad Gita as it is? Beginning to end? Ah, see, you have it in your home, but you're not reading. Please read. Please read every day. Who would like to do that now? Take a sankalpam that to read one page minimum every day, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Actually, why don't you say 2 pages? Because then you can finish in just about 1 year. 2 pages a day. Who would like to take that sankalpam? Read. Okay. Read the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is. Thank you very much. That means with purports. All right, there are so many other books. You can fill up your home with these books. Very important book. Science of Self-Realization. Who has this in their home? It's also a very important book. Life comes from life. Raja Vidya. So many important books. Oh, there's another edition of Life Comes from Life. That's the previous edition, is it? I think, you know, this is the new one. Just see, different quality of paper. Yeah, here's some book that I've put together, Ramayana. Hindi maybe, huh? Yeah, so I have written some books also, Brahmachari and Krishna Consciousness. This is also available. So please, get some real knowledge. Prabhupada came from the West, came to the Western world to give the real knowledge, which is the real wealth of India. He gave that to the Western world. Indian people are going to the Western countries for higher education, isn't it? But the highest education is traditionally taught here. But the modern Indian people don't know it. Sharam, sharam. You should read these books. Get the highest knowledge. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learn. You should learn all this. The time is coming when more, so many people are going to come from the West and come to India and to learn more about this. And then what are you going to say? They're going to ask, what is Kintad Brahma Kin Adhyatma? Arjuna asks Krishna. What is Brahma? What is Adhyatma? You should be able to know. Your children, what are you going to tell? When your children ask, what is real knowledge? What is Bhagavad Gita? You have to be able to tell them. Tamil, your books. Yeah, all right. So please, improve your life with these wonderful books. Self-improvement. Real improvement. How many people are chanting Hare Krishna regularly on beads? Who's here? You're not? So how many feel that there's a positive improvement in their life by doing so? Otherwise you wouldn't do it, would you? So improve yourself more. Read these books. Get them in your home. Even if you have them, you can take more. And then when relatives come, you can give them. Someone comes, give them a gift. All right, Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yeah, what's the question?
Ms. Maharaj, personally, I feel that as far as at least few people are very cynical about the modern education. But if you see, a lot of contribution has come from the people who have been trained in this modern education institution. For example, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasized English preaching, Vaishnava literature, and the cause of widespread Vaishnavism, and a lot of Indian educated youths participate in the movement.
Mm.
But
Yeah, credibility is not given for the modern education.
No, why should it? It's not the education, it's the Krishna consciousness which is valuable. So if you have, it can be utilized, but we should understand that it's not in and of itself of any value. Rather, if we're thinking of that in and of itself of some value, that is in itself an anartha. That's an obstacle. They're able to preach because people give some respect to that, because people are so foolish that they think this is something valuable. Because people are so foolish that they think this education is valuable, therefore those who have this bogus education, they're able to make some impression in the minds of those foolish people. So because they share this, they're also trained in the same foolishness, therefore other foolish people respect that. So you can use it. But it doesn't mean that it itself it has any value. We shouldn't think that it is of itself it has any value. If we think that all that, this education in how to make nuts and bolts is of itself something very wonderful, then we're in trouble.
That helps in material improvement.
Yeah, but material improvement is no improvement.
Very.
It's of no value to the soul.
Yeah.